accession number 27807, Mr. Harry Hooper, reel 15. Now, you got yourself into this awkward condition where you were qualified now as a navigator, but not as a pilot, which was the reverse of what, in fact, you were.
Yeah.
Now, how did you? What happened next, then?
Well, what happened was I decided if I could get a job on one of these smaller airlines, there were a number of them flying Lancasters and Yorks around at the time, I could act as a navigator, but because I had quite a lot of time on Lancasters, I could qualify as a second pilot, and I would then be able to get enough hours in that situation to renew my B license. I got a number of offers, but none of them were on small airlines operating Lancastrian or the York. And I did indeed accept a job with Flight Refueling, who were operating out of Tarrant Rushton. Flight Refueling was Alan Cobham's baby. He had decided that he could devise systems of aerial flight refueling. But in addition to that, as the Berlin Airlift was then on, he was flying tanker aircraft, that is, he was flying Lancasters with tanks in the Bombay, extra tanks in the Bombay, from an airfield near Hanover into Gatow, the British airport, occupied airport at Berlin, and he was flying high-octane fuel in for aircraft that flew in there and needed to refuel. And I was given the job as a navigator. I put off actually joining, and they would telephone me, we hadn't got a telephone, but they would telegram me, when are you joining? And I would say back, urgent family business restrains my joining you immediately.
Now why?
The reason being that I realised I wouldn't have coped, because on the Berlin lift, you can imagine all these aircraft flying, a constant stream of aircraft flying in, and to get into an airport, say, like Gatow, you had to be at a checkpoint a few miles to the west at a time, and you had to be there within 30 seconds. And the way to do this was use the G-system navigation, which, although I knew about, I couldn't operate. And these aircraft were using these advanced radar-type navigation systems. All I had got was a navigator's license, which really was theatrical stuff. In theory, I could navigate anywhere to anywhere, but in practice, using modern methods, I couldn't have worked what we called the G-box, and I knew that it just wasn't possible. And in the end, I told them that, you know, I don't think I'm qualified. They said, oh, yeah, you'll pick it up. Well, during the sort of few months leading up to that point, I'd met my wife, or wife-to-be, and decided that I didn't want to go off flying into Berlin anyway. I'd been offered a job in flying control down in the Sudan. I didn't want that. So I decided that I'd better look around for something else. Therein I answered an advertisement, and which left me joining the Quaker Oats Company at Southall, Middlesex.
As what? In management?
A trainee manager. Well, an assistant manager in what they called the shipping department. Shipping department received all the inwards goods and loaded out all the outward finished product. They also were responsible for handling all the materials within the very large factory buildings there.
and that was to be a successful career. That's where you stayed, wasn't it?
That's where I stayed until I left.
So that was the end of your flying as well?
Yeah.
Not through no fault of your own?
Since that period, I've flown occasionally. During a spell when I was at the Harvard Business School, one of the chaps there had his own aircraft, which he kept up in Massachusetts. And I went up at weekend and I flew with him. Later on, I flew a Viscount from Edinburgh, or partly flew a Viscount from Edinburgh to Heathrow. This was an occasion when I was in Edinburgh in the evening waiting for the flight back to London. And as I was waiting, it was a small airport there in Edinburgh, the Viscount came up from London and the flight crew came in and came upstairs to the little restaurant for a coffee. And I recognised the captain of the aircraft as a pilot, a flight lieutenant who'd instructed me at the operational training unit, flying officer. He was being flying officer Klimke. And I saw him and said, "Hi, how are you?" He said, "Oh, when you get seated, come down and we'll have a chat at the front." And he sent a stewardess whilst we were flying down to London and said, "The skipper wants, or the captain wants you on the flight deck, sir." And I went forward and he got his first officer to get out of his seat and I sat there and he said, "Here, I have a go." So I had a go. But that was flying officer Klimke for you. So that was the last time I flew a large multi-engine aircraft.
Now, do you still keep it? Are you a member of any of the associations, either Squadron, RAF, yeah, you know, Bomber, anything?
Well, I'm a member of the Bomber Command Association.
What does that do for you? I mean, why is that important to you?
Well, it's important to me because it keeps me in touch with Bomber Command, really. It's and people I knew, other people, you know, have joined. There's just an annual meeting, which I don't always go to. But it has a sort of quarterly journal that comes out with news of members, articles which are of interest to me. I joined the Squadron Association.
Which, the 115?
115 Squadron Association. They're very active still. The numbers are dwindling, obviously. We found it very difficult to, in that association, to recruit post-war aircrew. They seem reluctant. They seem to think that it's only open for World War II people. And it isn't so, and we do have a number of younger members, but by and large, you know, the association exists for oldies like me to get together and chinwag, which we do.
Anything else? Or they're the main two?
Oh, I still am very active or interested in aeronautica or whatever. I have journals monthly, quarterly journals. I take the aeroplane, fly past. These are journals dealing with aircraft of the wartime period, mainly historical aircraft. I read practically every day something about the air war or post-war flying or pre-war flying. I've got an extensive library of aeronautical books, and I've also been interested in World War One and World War Two history in general.
Now, were you ever able to establish contact with any of your old crew?
Yes, once I joined the 115 Squadron Association, which didn't happen until the mid-80s, I managed to locate my wireless operator and my mid-upper gunner. They both live in the UK, and they became members of the association. I also managed to locate my flight engineer, one Doug Cuttell, who had originally come from Arbroath, but I found was now living in the US. And as he used to return home to Arbroath to see family and friends once a year in the autumn, it has become practice now for him to go to Arbroath and then finish up for a week with myself. So for the last 12 or 15 years, Doug comes down and we chat over old times and we go out to airfields or war museums. I have another colleague who worked for me at Quaker Oats. He lives on the Isle of Wight. He's into the same sort of things I am, although he was only a, well, I say only, he was a photographer. And that's about it, really.
Thank you very much.
No, thank you.